Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy news for you today. As conservatives, we've run into a 21st century problem. We can't get the Skype to work, so Jim is on the phone today. Jim, we press on nonetheless, and we once again get a good martini from MSNBC, which has happened a few times here in the last few weeks. Of course, we know the president is expected to address the nation tonight, outline his case against ISIS, and maybe a little bit of the strategy. Although, if you saw the White House briefing yesterday, you might wonder just how much detail we're going to get. Nonetheless, Chuck Todd is revealing new polling information that NBC has done about where the American people stand on the president's handling of ISIS and on national security issues in general. And he floated up this dire warning to Democrats, which should come across as pretty good news to conservatives.
It's not just him. It actually is impacting the entire Democratic Party. We did some issue testing between, you know, who better handles which issues, Democrats or Republicans. Took out Obama. Republicans lead by 38 points on the issue of ensuring a strong national defense.
Oh, my God.
38. He's on the precipice of doing Jimmy Carter-like damage to the Democratic brand and foreign policy if he's not careful.
Jim, that's music to any conservative's ears. Jimmy Carter-like damage to the Democratic brand. Both Chuck Todd and Joe Scarborough went on to say they think this is a temporary blip in the public's attitude towards Obama, but if he doesn't show that he's up to this challenge, it may not be. Either way, it's looking real good for conservatives. Let's just hope it's also good for America.
Remember when the Bin Laden raid changed everything?
Right.
And, you know, that was going to become a Democratic issue? What we have seen here is almost a reversion to the mean, or a reversion to what were kind of the post-Vietnam stances of the party. As much as Democrats were willing to give Barack Obama, you know, a lot more leeway in terms of drone warfare, in terms of the pace of withdrawal and things like that, you know, a good portion of Barack Obama's pitch from 2008 and for even in his reelection bid was, by being smarter, air quotes, you know, by being more measured in our application of military force and by relying on diplomacy and relying on our allies, we were going to have a way to make the world a safer place, and we wouldn't have to use this big, messy military force. Smart power was the storyline. And kind of a big portion of that is Obama really, you know, it's very hard to imagine how history would have gone had the U.S. not invaded Iraq in 2003, but that really was the issue that drove him throughout 2004 Senate bid, 2008 presidential campaign. The touchstone of his entire political career is sending military forces into Iraq is bad. And kind of, you know, from 2008 it was, well, we can withdraw these troops and not have anything too dire for American interests happen. Yes, you might see all kinds of terrible bloody fighting between Shia and Sunni and Kurd, but ultimately this was not going to be that much of a problem for America, and we can bring our troops home and everything would be fine. Well, now we're turning up, it turns out that's not the case. And everybody who scoffed at Glenn Beck and everybody who ever talked about the term caliphate over the last couple of years now has to deal with this group of, you know, ruthlessly violent, unhinged extremists who are calling themselves the Islamic State and specifically want to reestablish something like a caliphate. We will see what happens. For better or for worse, and I think better for the country, Obama has a chance to fix this, but it's going to require him to become a war president for probably at least the last 2 years of his presidency, and that's not what he wanted to do. And so kind of an interesting question for tonight is going to be, how much can he embrace this role, or does he try to finesse it? And does he try to, you know, assure his base, well, we're just going to do some airstrikes and it's all going to be fine. My suspicion is Obama will not be up to this. The odds of us living in a peaceful utopia are not terribly likely anytime soon. There's always going to be a need for a president and for candidates that, you know, focus on national security and emphasize their willingness to fight those who are trying to kill us. And Obama and the Democrats are going to get, you know, tainted by this sense that their hearts aren't in it because they still believe in this kind of, you know, kumbaya-ish approach that we can either ignore the problem or, you know, find some way to placate these folks.
Now, not a lot of high expectations, it seems, for the president's address tonight, but we'll see what he has to say and obviously reevaluate most likely tomorrow. what direction we're heading in, because as Chuck Todd pointed out, the American people obviously not very impressed in general, certainly on that front, but in an increasing number of issues as we talked about yesterday. All right, on to the bad martini now, and in some ways there's a good twist here, but Jim, one of the things we've talked about from time to time with respect to Scott Walker is this effort by the Milwaukee County District Attorney to prove that there was illegal coordination of campaign funding by the Walker campaign as well as conservative organizations back during the 2010 race. It's been thrown out of court at least twice in Wisconsin. So now, of course, instead of letting it go, they're taking it to federal court. And there's a hearing going on this week. And we'll see what a three-judge panel says or may not say before Election Day. But in a story by a Stuart Taylor Jr. for the American Media Institute and Legal Newsline, he reveals that essentially the Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, a Democrat, did this out of personal spite. He talked to a longtime Chisholm subordinate who does not reveal his name, but did reveal for the first time in this article, quote, that the district attorney may have had a personal motivation for his investigation. Chisholm told him and others that Chisholm's wife, Colleen, a teacher's union shop steward at St. Francis High School, a public school near Milwaukee, had been repeatedly moved to tears by Walker's anti-union policies in 2011, according to the former staff prosecutor in Chisholm's office. Chisholm said in the presence of the former prosecutor that his wife frequently cried when discussing the topic of the union disbanding and the effect it would have on the people involved. She took it personally, and therefore the prosecutor felt that it was his personal duty to stop Walker from treating people like this. So, Jim, clearly the law was at the forefront of this investigation.
Yeah, I mean, this is, on the one hand, this isn't exactly, it isn't stunning. The idea of there being a personal motivation doesn't seem all that unthinkable. On the other hand, to see it said so explicitly is kind of surprising. And basically, you kind of wonder, like, well, why? It'd be nice if people could let us know this beforehand. And prosecutors are really not supposed to allow their offices to get turned into these, you know, tools of partisan political vendettas. It certainly looks as laughable, perhaps not quite as laughable as the case against Rick Perry in Texas, but, you know, part of the pattern of liberals believing that they can use the instruments of law enforcement to go after their political foes. The violations of law are always kind of fuzzy and always kind of vague. What constitutes illegal coordination and at what point does it become not the sort of thing that should be permitted under the First Amendment? It's very, you know, iffy in these areas. On the one hand, we're not stunned by this, but on the other hand, it's kind of troubling to say, yeah, in Wisconsin, all these people have had their lives turned upside down and been through this very complicated legal process because the prosecutor didn't have the good sense to realize, you know, irking my wife is not enough to justify a legal fight.
On to the crazy martini now. Jim, and I don't know if you see these things online where people think they're sending a text message to a certain person and ends up they sent it to somebody very different, like a message to a boyfriend that ends up being sent to their dad kind of a thing. Well, it turns out that a senior communications aide to Attorney General Eric Holder called up the office of the House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa, most likely thinking he was calling the minority side, the Democratic side of Elijah Cummings on this. The guy's name is Brian Fallon, used to work for Chuck Schumer. Now he works for the Justice Department. And apparently he was asking the aides if they could release a certain amount of IRS scandal documents to selected reporters so that way those reporters could give Fallon at the Justice Department an opportunity to comment publicly on it and get ahead of the story, even though the Justice Department had explicitly said those documents should not be released at that time. So now Daryl Issa has written this letter to Eric Holder saying, what are you doing here? And wanting an investigation into exactly what tactics were afoot.
You know, and I'm sure the Justice Department will investigate itself promptly. You know, on the one hand, another one of those stories where the specifics aren't stunning. You know, this kind of just kind of confirms our worst suspicions of the way the government would operate and things like that. But it is kind of depressing that, you know, they basically, you know, that there's as much coordination going on as we suspected. There's a theme amongst our martinis today. You know, it's that unfortunately, you know, there are people in government who basically believe their purpose is to help Democrats. And, you know, the Department of Justice is not interested in doing much to stop injustice. And that the IRS thing, that they really don't see anything wrong going on there. And ultimately, they're fine with an effort to go after Americans. And that basically also they see the press as a key ally. And the whole point of, you know, information management is to just, you know, do it in a way that hurts Republicans and helps Democrats. And it's just a, you'd be very curious about which members of the media they wanted to reach out to, don't you?
Yeah, that would be very, very good to know. I wonder if he'll be immediately transferred to Cincinnati so they can.
There you go. I'm surprised. Yeah, I guess the phone call was transferred through some low-level employees in Cincinnati. And that's why it happened that way.
Probably so. All right, Jim, get the popcorn ready for the president's speech tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Can't wait, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.